Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary, and I think I'll start this show out by saying the NBA season is finally over with. And rightfully so, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the new champions of the NBA, and led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And, you know, it went as planned, but I think it was a little rougher road than they anticipated. Indiana gave them everything they could handle.
Yeah, to be fair, you picked everybody involved in the show, except me, picked the Oklahoma City Thunder to win.
Wasn't a bad choice.
I know. I was so close. I was so close.
Yeah, you were.
And then, of course, Halliburton goes down with that Achilles injury, you know, in Game 7.
Yeah.
And now the league is, you know, talking about this is, the I think, the fifth Achilles injury of these playoffs. So what's going on with that?
Well, I just think it's wear and tear, you know, clock management or whatever, or, you know, how whatever they describe that as, you know, the minutes that a player, you know, needs to play to before he gets a day off or whatever. But congratulations, OKC. Looks like the Lakers have got a new owner.
Yeah, very interesting. former guest on this show, Jimmy Buss, just got himself a little bit of cash because it sold for $10 billion, and that's a 66% share of the Los Angeles Lakers owned by the Buss family, sold for $10 billion, meaning the Lakers are worth $15 billion.
Well, I think that the number one owner for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Mark Walter, is the man behind the new ownership. So we'll see how that goes. And I understand that Jeannie is going to stay on and be the Lakers governor for an extended period of time. I don't know if I would want that job at this point in time. I might take the money and just say goodbye.
Well, some people might remember when Mark Cuban sold to the Adelsons, when he sold the Mavs. They're like, oh, yeah, Mark Cuban, sure. We'll totally keep you in charge of basketball operations. And now Mark Cuban is focusing on Shark Tank and not the Mavs.
Yeah, well, I do want to say kudos go out to the UCLA athletic program. They have had a fantastic year. Both their men's baseball and women's softball teams went to the College World Series. They didn't win it, but they had a marvelous year. You know, the women's basketball team went to the Final Four. They were number one ranked team in college basketball for most of the year. So great job from Corey Close. And their other programs have still managed to win some other national championships. So big kudos. And let's not leave out USC, because USC did go to the women's finals, Final Four, and they had a terrific year in that sport as well. So anyway, just wanted to do some local kudos for our local universities. We're going to be right back. We'll see about that with our special guest, Tim Mead, right after this message.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, listen up, because we have legal professionals standing by right now to answer your questions for free. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-745-9090. That's 800-745-9090. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can speak with a live agent right now. So, if you or someone you know were injured in an accident, like a car accident or slip and fall, call now to find out if you have a case and how much money you could potentially get. 800-745-9090. That's 800-745-9090. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Hey there, sports fans. Ron Say. Are you ready to score big with fresh, healthy eats? Well, our friends at Melissa's Produce have got you covered. Whether you're gearing up for the big game or just living that active lifestyle, Melissa's fresh produce delivers the winning nutrition you need. And here's the MVP move. Visit Melissa's.com today and use the promo code RONSAY to save 15% on your first order. Don't miss out on the home run deal. Fuel your passion for sports and good eats with Melissa's Produce. That's Melissa's.com, promo code RONSAY.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free gift. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
And now for Harmony Cheese, here are Vince Ferragamo and Jackie Slater.
Indulge in the exquisite flavors of Harmony Cheese, crafted with passion and precision in Athens, Wisconsin.
Our signature Golden Age cheeses are a symphony of taste. From the tangy sweetness of cranberry and orange Abergele to the rich, buttery smoothness of our aged Gloucester.
Elevate your charcuterie board with our show-stopping Merlot cheddar, or savor the unique combination of flavors in our Portobello and Chive Abergele.
Harmony Cheese, rooted in Wisconsin tradition, crafted for discerning palates. Visit our cheese shop in Athens or shop online at harmonycheese.com.
Don't forget to visit our cheese shop in Athens or shop online at harmonycheese.com.
That's harmonycheese.com.
They still call me the Penguin. Okay, we have returned to We'll See About That with our special guest, Tim Mead. And Tim will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is a proud partner of We'll See About That. Be sure to use my VIP code RONSAY when checking out at melissas.com. Okay, we're going to be talking with Tim Mead, who had a very distinguished career in Major League Baseball, 4 decades with the Los Angeles Angels, and he was also president of the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, from 2019 to 2021. And Tim, it seems like you started from the bottom, the mailroom or whatever. You were director of media relations, assistant vice president of media relations, assistant general manager, and finally vice president of communications for 22 years. Yeah, it seems like you did it all back then.
Well, Ron, greetings. It's a pleasure to join you and Mike on this show. And you know, when you reflect back on your career as you do your playing career, all that goes quick, but the start is as important as the finish, I think. And for me, starting as an intern with some of the people I learned from with the Angels organization, and I actually did an internship with the Dodgers in 1980. I was working on the scoreboard crew and with Barry Stockhammer at the time. So I had the great opportunity of working with both organizations. But I think that a gentleman that we both knew very well, Preston Gomez, gave me some good advice when I started, and it was look, listen, and observe. And when you come into an organization, you're starting fresh and you're starting on kind of the lower end of the totem pole. That was some of the best advice that I could have ever received, and I really kind of carried that with me throughout my career and passed it along to others. But, you know, the growth through the organizations really seemed to kind of happen quickly. And I was very blessed and fortunate to have some good teachers and mentors along the way.
Well, certainly I know Preston Gomez. He was one of our coaches when I broke in. And Barry Stockhammer was my superior when I started working for the Dodgers when Peter O'Malley brought me back in around 1996. So, yeah, I have fond memories of both. And you had some good teachers.
I really did. And when I look back on it, Ron, and I tell students this today, you know, when you talk to classes, some of the best education you're ever going to get in any occupation or vocation is the experience that you gain from people that have been there first. And I found You know, I started with Buzzy Bavasi, again, the Dodger connection, Dodger Angel connection is so strong, Red Patterson amongst others. And I found that those gentlemen, and at the time, a few ladies that had had lengthy careers in the game, were very open to passing along mentoring and experiences and their wisdom if we, as young people just entering the game, were open-minded to A, ask the questions, and B, listen. And by listen, I mean don't have a comment back all the time, but truly listen to what they were passing along. Because this is a game of experiences, spontaneity, and I just think it was just great people and their experiences in the real world of the game, both in the business side, handling players, handling media, handling fans, handling each other, handling privacy, just all kinds of things came at you at once. And I could not have asked for me when I started in 80, full-time in 81, for a better group of people. That also went up the road to Dodger Stadium. Toby Zweikel and Steve Brenner were two people I held in high regard for how they handled public relations. I'd written Fred Clare a note when I was in high school about how you join, you know, a major league front office. And I still have the letters that Fred sent me in response. And ironically, every step of the way of my career where I would get a promotion, Fred was one of the first ones that would write me a note. And I learned how to handle and interact with people based on, just that little kindness or professionalism from Fred.
You are taking back to Old Home Week with Toby Zweikel, Steve Brenner, Buzzy Bavasi, and the other one that was in there, I can't remember right now. But they're all very fond memories for me, too, being a part of that. And you had your distinguished career. I mean, how did you eventually take what you learned and absorbed from the Angels? What made you want to go and be a part of the Hall of Fame at that point?
Well, Ron, I'll tell you, my goal, because I grew up loving the Dodgers and the Angels, but I lived in San Bernardino, and it was a little bit easier to get to the Angel games through the years. And I heard Dick Enberg on a transistor radio after we moved out here from Virginia, and I was hooked. And an Angel Red Sox game in, I think it was August of 69, and then I heard Vin and Jerry calling a Dodger game. But really, for me, I wanted to be an Angel for 50 years. I mean, I was in my 40th year, and I had a couple conversations, or one conversation with Jeff Idelson, my predecessor at the Hall, in spring training of 19. And he asked me, he kind of gave me a heads up that he was going to be stepping aside and asked me if I'd be interested. And I just said, you know, the Angels were everything to me. I had the best job in the world. And I really did feel that way. That's not just hyperbole. So I kind of passed on it, if you will. And I had a discussion, thought about it for a couple of days, and got back to Jeff. And then a couple of days after that, and this is still spring training, we're just in the process of coming back to Anaheim. Jane Forbes Clark called me, and the chairman of the board of the Hall of Fame, and said that she understood it was kind of a tough decision for me not to be interested, but could we have a conversation? So, you know, I believe in chain of command and all that. So I flew out to Florida to meet with her, and we had 2.5 hour lunch, Ron, and I never finished my salad. And the Reader's Digest, as I drove back to Fort Lauderdale to fly home and called her to check in, I flew out to Florida thinking I'm going to have a conversation with this lady just to see if she thought I was worthy to go through the interview process for the job. And she offered me the job while I was at the airport. Took me another 4 days to decide to accept that role. And it was arguably one of the hardest decisions I ever made, just to step aside and go to Cooperstown. But Cooperstown is Mecca. I didn't leave the Angels organization because you have a title as president. I left the Angels to go work at the Hall of Fame. And to me, it was just after 40 years to go to Cooperstown. It was, for me, it was kind of like going back to school, if you will, to learn even more of the depth of the history of the game and the insights and see it from a different perspective. And I'm thankful I did. It was two fast years, two amazing years, but a blessing and an opportunity from above I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
Well, the person I left out in the last segment that we spoke about, the people that you ran into at the Dodgers, was Red Patterson. And I had great memories of Red Patterson. And you also mentioned Jeff. Jeff was on our show here about a year ago. Had a nice conversation with him. But, yeah, I understand that would be a difficult position to take and ponder over. You know, you spent a great deal of time with the Angels. And when we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about if it was ever competitive, since you learned a little bit of that from the Dodgers, and now you're stepping over to the Angels. And we'll talk a little bit more when we come back. We'll see about that right after this. Stay with us.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by right now. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-745-9090. That's 800-745-9090. Call now to find out how much your case could be worth. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Say. Okay, we're back. We'll see about that with our special guest, Tim Mead. And Tim, I just ran across this in my mind as I was thinking about where I would start. The very first Major League Baseball game I ever saw was in 1968 at Anaheim Stadium between the California Angels and the Oakland A's. And I got to see Rick Monday and Reggie Jackson, and I got to see Jim Fregosi. And that was my first big league game that I got to see. And so I do have a connection, but there with Anaheim. But one of the things when I was coming through the Dodger organization and I eventually got to the big leagues as a Dodger, I always felt that it was Dodgers Angels, unfortunately. You know, I felt like, you know, it was the Dodgers and then there were the Angels, you know, a little bit like the Lakers and then there were the Clippers. And I always felt that that was kind of unfair. And then, of course, you know, there was a big breakthrough under Mike Socia when you won the world championship back in 2002. Did you ever feel like you were competing against the Dodgers, or were you just trying to run your ship and get it in the best position it could possibly be?
Ron, that's a great question. And I would tell you, when I first started and I was kind of just learning, started at 22, I think there was a little bit of, you know, maybe more than a little bit of feeling like the stepchild within the region a little bit. Media coverage, if you will, you know, the success that you had in the 70s, winning the championship again in 81 and all that. I think that we had to work a little bit harder for attention, but we didn't have the success to match the attention that we were looking for. You know, Mr. Autry made the moves with free agency with Bobby Gritch and Joe Rudy and Donnie Baylor in 77, and that changed. Then we had the great year in 82. But it's almost really, I came to the realization in my own mind, you know, you look at the Yankees now with 27 world championships and the Mets had 69, which will forever be, you know, a great conversation. But until you can match somebody, and particularly the first person in the area or first organization, it's going to be difficult. I think the Angels let that go probably from my mindset in the 90s. Did we compete? I don't know that it's so much that we competed out of jealousy or maybe there was a little envy. But I think it was just trying to be relevant in the media world. And as you know, making that drive in the freeway from the TV stations to get those live shots that we used to do in the day, that was huge. But to get, you know, Jim or Stu or Eddie Arnold or anybody come down used to be difficult. Yeah. For me in PR, again, as I mentioned earlier, the relationship with Fred Clair, but also the relationship with Steve and Toby was fantastic. So I think that as a professional, we looked at it very much as respect for each other, but we knew where the attention was going. You asked about Mike Socia. A lot of times that I think that, you know, for the Dodger organization, the O'Malley family changed and set the tone for that organization. And I think there was a standard and an expectation of all of you as players, certainly, but the front office and the consistency. I watched, Ron, Mike Socia change the course of the Angels organization. And I'll tell you how it was very simple to me. It wasn't just in the clubhouse. It was in the front office. 1999, we had a bad year, and it cost a lot of people their jobs. And Mike was hired in November of 99. But we used to have to write in the day a prospectus in advance to, you know, it's PR propaganda about what we thought the next year would be. And in that, my prospectus, I wrote, whoever we'd acquire, trades, hope that we would be competitive in 2000. You know, we had expectations. And Mike was in my office and he read it. And he goes, look, I wasn't around in 99. We're going to move forward. I wasn't part of that. But the one word that I choose and prefer not to use is competitive. I like to use the word contending. And he said, competitive is hope. if everything gets together, you know, maybe we can do this. Contending is making a definitive statement of our expectations. So Mike drilled that message into the Garrett Andersons and the Tim Salmons and Troy Percivals downstairs, but it also resonated with all of us upstairs. And that changed the course of the organization. And, you know, he takes over in 99 in the offseason, and three seasons later, we're world champions. So that is a credit to Mike Socha, for which I'll always be grateful.
You, Michael and I played a little bit together at the end of my career. There's something about catchers and managers that go hand in hand pretty well with Major League Baseball. But I was hired back in the late 90s, and Mike was still a part of the organization. I think I went and visited him in Albuquerque when he was still managing there for a brief period. But the Dodgers let him get away, and they went in a different route. And you guys got a gem. And I am not surprised that Michael was able to make his way. And you guys waited a long time to bring a world championship to Anaheim. That must have changed pretty much everything going your way now in Anaheim.
Well, it really did, Ron. It was 42 years to get to that point, and 42 years with a lot of effort. I think the only, you know, for all the emotion that that year brought, I think the only disappointment was that Mr. Autry wasn't around to see it happen. But really, what winning did is it took, you were around enough to know that, you know, to hear everybody discuss or read about the curse. Everything was the curse with the Angels. So you go back to 82, 86, what happened in postseason, some of the injuries. 97 and 98, we had great seasons and then just threw it away in September. I was the assistant GM and we had two 9-game losing streaks in the last 50 plus games in 95 and lost by a game. But what it really did was it put us in the history books. We had that world championship. And I think the credibility within the community, within the baseball community, certainly was really what you strive for. And even after Disney sold us in May of 2003 and Artie and his team came in, had a lot of success, obviously, through 2009. And I think that's the thing that's been the toughest through the current stretch right now is it took so long to get up to that point of consistent relevancy. And you don't want to lose that. And that doesn't mean you have to win world championships year in and year out. But when you're considering an upper division organization and, you know, with all those preseason magazines projecting you to be in the hunt, that's an important place to be. And that was probably, Ron, as satisfying as anything to get to that mountaintop and sustain it for a while. And that was Mike. And if you look at what he did, not only Socha's guidance, but his selection of people with Bill Stoneman to have gone and gotten Buddy Black and had Joe Maddon on that staff, and then Ron Renicki, and obviously we had, you know, Mickey as our hitting coach. But he brought in good people and who've gone on and had great success. Dino Ebel, obviously a fixture with the Dodgers now at third base. And I think the Angels miss him each and every day. So it's hard to get there. It's harder to stay there, the same as it is getting to the major leagues and sustaining a 10-year career.
Sam, I want to ask you, you mentioned Mr. Autry. What was he like as a person? Because I think a lot of our younger listeners don't realize, you know, how important he was to Southern California and baseball in general, and a tremendous tycoon, businessman, but also, the singing cowboy. What was he like as a man and as an owner?
Mike, he was the most unassuming celebrity star that I ever met. And I would say this, and I'm not just saying it because of the Dodger connection here, but there's three people I use Mr. to. It's Mr. O'Malley Sr., who I never had met, Walter O'Malley, but Peter O'Malley, I say Mr., and I say Mr. Autry. And I think that is the ultimate respect that can be paid to those gentlemen. He didn't travel with an entourage. He would come down the hall to go to every day during a homestand to go down and see Buzzy or Mike Porter, general manager, and he would stop in your office and say hello. And You know, I had the one-off conversations when there were certain things going with PR. I think Ron knows how this works down in the clubhouses. I never heard Mr. Autry raise his voice. And about the only time I think that I ever had the sense that he was frustrated, two quick stories. His birthday is in September, and we had a homestand after a particularly bad year. I'm going to say it was 83 or 87. Players brought in, had a birthday cake brought in to him. They sing happy birthday. Everybody gathers around in the clubhouse before the game. And somebody said, speech, speech. And Mr. Autry said, well, fellas, a lot of you haven't had particularly good years. And some of you, many of you won't be back next year. But I really want to thank you and wish you and your families a happy offseason. That was about as angry as I heard him. Conversely, in 86, where everybody, in the media in particular, wanted to see Mr. Autry get to that first World Series because he was so popular. But we have the 3-1 lead. We're one strike away from going in game five. We lose that against the Red Sox and then get blown out in 6-7. We're about to take that long flight back from the Copley Marriott back to California and come downstairs to get ready to leave the hotel. Mr. Autry is down in the lobby by the elevators, greeting players and staff alike and telling everybody to keep your heads up. Thanks for all your hard work. We'll get them next year. And I remember that as frustrated and hurtful and hard as it was to go through that, if the owner who spent his life and all his resources at wanting to win and get to a World Series can treat us like that, then pick your head up and be positive. And again, that's one of those lessons you carry with you the rest of your life.
Well, I have nothing but the ultimate respect for Gene Autry. I ran into him a number of times. I thought he was a great owner and a great guy, and I say the same about the O'Malley family, too. We're going to be right back with Tim Mead right after this.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's Frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new Frosty Swirls and Frosty Fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to Frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC. Used with permission.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out collection letters, garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it even harder to get out of debt. Don't let tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in taxpayer assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. Let them fight on your behalf, helping to put your tax problems to rest. Call the tax professionals at Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Summer days just got even brighter with Kohl's epic deals. Get this. You can score tees for just $5.99. Bedding for 60% off. Comfy shorts only $7.99. And so much more. You do not want to miss out. Shop Kohl's epic deals for savings on all things summer now, before it's too late. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Offer ends June 22nd. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo! GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And we are back. We'll see about that with the legend, champion, and MVP, Ron Say. I am Mike Airy, and this week in Dodger history, 1982, I was only a wee lad when that year, the Dodgers draft defeated the Houston Astros 4-1 in the Astrodome. The Dodgers were led by Ron Say, who had a perfect day at the plate. The Penguin was 3-for-3 with 2 doubles, 2 walks, 1 run scored, and 1 RBI. That all happened against former Dodger great Don Sutton, who's in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yes, sir, and I remember that well because our families were close, and Fran actually went on that trip. So Don and Patty and Fran and Ron went out to dinner. And I got the best of that night. He paid for the dinner too. I think that that was great. A lot of fun. Tim, the game today is a lot different than the game that I played in, that you worked in. We're going to play a little bit of a word association name game thing. I'm going to give you some names. I'm going to give you some of the rule implications, how you feel about today's game today. So let's start out with, let's go to Bobby Gritch.
Bobby Gritch is one of the greatest defensive second basemen of all time, who could go to right field, hit the opposite way with power. I think he tied for the American League lead in home runs in 81. Was one of the smartest base runners, not the fastest, but one of the smartest base runners. And I would say this, and I joke with Bobby about it to this day, could arrive late at the clubhouse, be on the field in time, and be in game mode as quickly as anybody I ever met. And I still think that he should be on the peripheral for the Veterans Committee for Hall of Fame consideration.
I agree with you 100%. I grew up with Bobby Gritch. I think I played my very first All-Star game. Bobby Gritch was the starting second baseman in 74 in Pittsburgh, I believe. Ultimate respect. I agree. I wonder how he got so lost in the shuffle.
Yep.
Let's go to Mike Trout.
Those first 10 years, the first part of his career just went by too fast for all of us to really, you know, the perspective of what he accomplished. I really literally pray every day that, you know, the health stays there. I think Mike Trout is – baseball needs a healthy Mike Trout. He is one of the most selfless individuals. What he does very, very quietly. He enjoys the game. He loves the game, doesn't enjoy it. He's a phenomenal teammate. He plays with pure joy. And really, really, Ron, he's one of the most loyal people I've ever met in or out of the game of baseball. He's just a phenomenal, phenomenal talent, and I wish him nothing but good health the next 5+ years.
Well, I think baseball needs him. I think Angels need him, and I do agree with you about his loyalty. For him to be able to stay through the thick and thin of that is quite a testament.
Yes, sir.
You guys had Trout, Pujols, and Ohtani all at the same time, and what that could have been if they were all, you know, in that you know, if Mike didn't have the injuries, if Albert wasn't, you know, in the declining years of his career, and you bring in Ohtani, who's just, you know, touching the periphery of his excellence in baseball. Let's go to Albert Pujols.
A perfectionist each and every day. I had the honor of watching him take batting practice in the cage underneath, and it is absolutely amazing the respect that even teammates had. You know, you could have certain music playing and kind of joking and talking back and forth. When Albert was in the cage, it was quiet. There was no goofing around. Albert, his attention to detail was absolutely phenomenal. His desire to win was amazing. I stood at in the cage in spring training 1 year, Ron, and Dino Ebel was throwing BP. Just regular BP, and Albert stepped out of the box on a pitch that came in, and he saw a blem. He saw the red dot on this ball as it was coming and stepped out. And, you know, I know how good his eyesight was, but that was absolutely phenomenal. And he said it, what was wrong and why he stepped out before he picked up the ball. It was absolutely amazing. His workouts, I mean, I had the, and I mean, this was a privilege, the distinct privilege of watching Trouty, Shohei, and Albert's post-game workouts, along with, in some cases, the pre-game workouts of Shohei and Mike. Absolutely amazing. There's just nothing like him. And Albert was first ballot. I think people's expectations, I think Albert helped Mike stay in Anaheim, if you will, with the, mm-hmm. you know, because Albert struggled when he first got it, left St. Louis, and right. obviously it was a storybook ending and going back and then finishing, you know, going with the Dodgers as well. Albert is the first ballot Hall of Fame, and I don't think gets enough credit because of leaving St. Louis, just how dynamic and powerful his first 10, 11 years were.
Yeah, very similar careers, the first 10 with Mike and Albert. You know, 700 home runs tells you a lot, along with 2,000 RBIs. Let's go to a young Shohei Ohtani.
I said in a meeting with Nez Bilello, Billy Epler, John Carpino, when after we'd had the press conference, Shohei, when he sat in there and said all the things that he was going to do in the major leagues, he knew it. He was dedicated to it and devoted to it. And you know, even though he had the injury the first year, spring training, there's some people that thought he might start in AAA because he was rolling over on the 4-3s in spring training, not driving the ball. His workout, his determination. It is baseball. Some people talk about, you know, just being diehard and totally focused. I've never met an athlete. I don't know that I've ever met an individual is as focused to his or her craft as Shohei Ohtani. And something tells me they're still the best is yet to come.
It's pretty hard not to agree with that.
The two-time MVP and 50-50.
Yeah, and he's already got 27 home runs at this point, so leading the National League in home runs. It's wide open.
What about Jim Abbott, Tim?
Well, Mike, you bring up a great question. I'm going to throw one plug. Jimmy's going to do an E60 documentary. It's coming out in the middle of July. I strongly recommend that everybody watch it. He's one of the ultimate great ambassadors for the game and should be part of Major League Baseball. Jimmy Abbott, unassumingly, without calling attention to himself, to me, opened the doors for physically challenged athletes or young competitors in sports across the country, across the globe, in the spectrum of sports, to not be afraid to do it and try it. I think his calling was for that as much as it was to play Major League Baseball. And, you know, one of the hardest days, he and I were very close and went through a lot of things, you know, with his time with us. The day that we traded him to the Yankees was one of the toughest days of my professional career. But one of the happiest days of my career is when he threw that no-hitter as a member of the Yankees. And he is still revered on Old Timers Day as if he's one of the great legends of the New York Yankees. But Jim Abbott is the same person today as he was when we had the press conference after he was drafted in 88. And Jim Abbott is one of the great emotional and human interest stories in the history of our game, if not sports.
Well, he's a great story. And he's even a greater baseball story. So I encourage all of you who do not know that story to watch that documentary that you mentioned. Yeah, it's a great, great, great thing. Yeah, a tremendous asset to baseball. Let's switch over to the game changing, all the manipulation that's being done, the new rules, the robot umpires. How do you feel about the pitch clock?
Well, You know, Ron, I'm not sure how many 15 or 16 inning games you played in your career, but if I go back and look at the hours that we may have had with our families at home for some of those long games, I like that change. I'm not 100% sold on the robotic umpiring. You know, when you talk about looking at Mr. Autry or Mr. O'Malley or Jim Abbott and try to have people understand who they were and their role in the history of the game, try to explain to a 16-year-old the history of Earl Weaver or Billy Martin when you watch a video and try to understand what was wrong with this manager, because you don't see those outbursts anymore or rarely in the game today. And I think a lot of the, you know, I think a lot of the changes have precluded the personality of managers in their role in the game. The one I'm not sold on, I'm not sold on the ghost runner.
I'm not either.
I just think that, you know, when you play that game in October, you know, if you have clubs, and I know Sosa with the runner on second, you're gonna hit that ground ball, or we're gonna have the bunt in the 10th inning. It's just the way Mike would have had things executed, same way Gene Mock did as a manager. But if you see an 11 or 12 inning game in the major leagues today, from my opinion, I'll show you a team that's not as solid fundamentally. I just think if you're going to go play in that tournament in October, you've got to be able to advance a runner. And suddenly you're not going to have that. You're not going to play that way in postseason. So, you know, do what you're going to do all throughout the course of the game. And I just think that managers have to manage differently when you had, you know, the bullpens that could be used longer. It's just, I don't know. I'm just not a fan of it.
Neither am I. And, you know, on the average, there's, I believe they play about 16 extra inning games a year on average, every club. And when you have the number of available teams available for postseason play, that's a lot of games to send people home early because the game's running too long. They're important games. They all count the same. Tim, we left a lot on the table. I want to talk to you again. I want to put more of this down. Thank you so much for joining us. You had a fabulous career, continued success, and good luck to you.
Ron and Mike, thank you both. It's been my pleasure to be part of this today. Wishing you both the best.
Thanks so much. That was Tim Mead, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see about that right after this message. This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers. But the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron.
Okay, we're back, and we're going to wind down these last 3 minutes by telling you that I will have a special book signing over the 4th of July weekend up in Spokane, Washington. So all those Washingtonians, I'm going to be up at Vista Park on Saturday, the 5th of July. The gates open at 6 o'clock, so please come and watch the ball game and pick up a copy of Penguin Power. Also want to remind those people, Dodger fans in particular, July 18th, I hope you're all there for my bobblehead night, and it is the night that I will be honored as a Dodger legend, so I hope to see all you great Dodger fans out there that night as well. And I also want to thank Phi Delta Fraternity for the induction into their Sports Hall of Fame that was done last week in Atlanta on the 19th of June. So thank you very much, and I hope that all of you can participate in some way or another.
Congratulations on all those honors. Well-deserved, Ron.
Thank you.
Real fast to wrap things up here. We're seeing a lot of, just tremendous heat right now. De La Cruz vomited on the field. Trent Thornton had to be helped off the field as these MLB games are disrupted by extreme heat. What was it like to play in the dead of summer in L.A.
In
Chicago?
I tell you what was even worse than those two places was playing on the turf in Pittsburgh. You know, Saturday, Sunday day games there, they had that tartan turf, which is real thin. The Steelers played on it. You could see like those old Western movies where the guys are going through the desert, you know, and you see those
heat
waves
radiating
going up.
Off the.
You'd look out at the left fielder from the dugout, and you'd see these heat waves going by, and these guys are kind of, you know, jumping up and down in their cleats because they're getting their feet scalded by the heat. 130 degrees on the carpet.
So that was the hottest ballpark you ever played in?
I think so. You know,
even
Philadelphia.
What about St. Louis?
St. Louis was hot too. But the good part about St. Louis is that it was dirt turf. So the infielders didn't have to worry about it so much because they're on the dirt. But when they made it all carpet again, that changed things too. But yes, I would say St. Louis and Pittsburgh. Day games in the summertime tear you up.
What was the first dome stadium you ever played in?
Houston Astrodome. Thank God for the Astrodome. You know, they had mosquitoes the size of, you know,
Eagles.
Rats flying around. I'm telling you, it was not comfortable. But that you would not, that might have been the worst overall, because you didn't want to go outdoors in Houston in the summertime. Not well, me, anyway.
Thank goodness that new stadium that they're building in Las Vegas will have a dome, because can you imagine that?
Oh, yeah, that's a nightmare. Anyway, just want to thank you all for joining us. I hope you guys have a great weekend. We're going to hope you guys have a great 4th of July weekend, too, coming up next week. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.